Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Space Jams podcast. I am, of course, your host, Jim Murphy, and today we have back with us, all reliable, Brad Wasser from the Space Science Rocketry Instagram page here, and we're going to chat about some of the awesome stuff that's been developing this week. Brad, how's it going, man?
Doing really good. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. So, we got a big week. Historically, kind of a big week, kind of a big month, honestly, for space. But in history, of course, I'm in that historically, even though this month itself will become very historical in the future. But the main thing we're talking about today, we got Blue Origin's New Shepard, and we have Virgin Galactic Spaceship 2. And we got a billionaire space race going on right now for essentially the first billionaire to get himself into space with his own rocket. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think Elon Musk has sort of won that space race, even though he hasn't gone. I mean, he's gone orbital with his company. He has a heavy lift vehicle, but, you know, suborbital kind of counts, I guess.
True.
Kind of counts, yeah.
That's a good point. And there's a lot of, you know, discussion kind of between, there's dispute between the two companies, Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic, as to like what going to space is and what being an astronaut like would be once you go on their rockets and stuff, on their different spaceships, I suppose. And so like we'll get into that too. A couple of things I wanted to put out there for the beginning of this. So we're talking about Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos both going to space, and they honestly, I mean, they own the companies of which are doing this, and they're going up in their own rockets. So they're building their own rockets and things. So outer space, or, you know, is measured at 100 kilometers or 62 miles up, otherwise known as the Kármán line. And so this is like one of the big things that both of these CEOs and everyone else who's telling them what they're doing and what they should say in public, so they don't look like they have no idea what they're talking about when it comes to space, is what they're telling them. And so we'll talk about that. We have, where is outer space? That's kind of important. And, you know, what, and then the other thing we've got to go over is like, who is actually an astronaut? And like, you know, they have their own definitions. And I think, you know, you and I can come up with our own definition, a Space Jam's definition for who's an astronaut and what it kind of means. But to begin, a little bit of history. So these two will not be the first billionaires to go to space. So they won't be the first private citizens to go to space. The first billionaire to go to space actually went twice. And his name is Charles Simonyi. And I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but he went 2007 and 2009 on the Soyuz. I mean, that's about $30 to $35 million per seat per launch. So he was actually the first, I believe he was the first private citizen to buy a seat to go to the International Space Station. So these two aren't even the first billionaires, but they're the first billionaires to go on their own rocket ship. So I think that's kind of important.
So he went orbital. He went all the way to the ISS.
Yeah, he went all the way to the ISS. I think he did twice too. I mean, he went up in 2009, and I knew that, you know, the Russians were, you could buy a, you know, it's just to buy a, buy a seat space is, you know, when it's $30 million, it's not really that accessible. So
the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, actually bought a seat on a Soyuz to send one of their astronauts, but it was kind of weird because she was an astronaut, but she went as like a tourist almost. She only stayed on the ISS for like a week, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I guess it's still interesting, you know, you still kind of, I'm assuming that's probably their first astronaut
they've been
Yeah, so I mean, that's probably part of it, you know, just having someone have gone to space is good for you know, national pride and things like that. So that's interesting. But yeah, so this is interesting. So we have this new space race, and it's a literal race to space. It's like, who will get there first? And it's coming down to the wire. It's coming down to the week. So it's got not as, not nearly as important as getting to the moon, but it's definitely a race. And it's pretty exciting. Like, this is going on, and I think the best part about this is the dates in which they've chosen to go. So Bezos, what, it was about 2 months ago or a month ago, he said he was going to go up on the 20th, which was the will be the anniversary of the moon landing, the 52nd anniversary of the moon landing.
Oh, that's right. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's like his thing.
Yeah.
And of course, he has other special things that we'll talk about going on there. And then I knew I called this. I wonder if I said it in one of my earlier episodes, but I called that Branson, the moment that they got the FAA certification, I knew that he was going to go up before him. I knew he was going to try to beat him because that's so Branson. Branson's like the explorer to me. But yeah, so pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is. I think Branson plans are going up on the 11th, so a couple days from now. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
The crew that Bezos picked is pretty cool. The woman that he just picked, the old lady, she was supposed to be a part of the Mercury program, I think, back in the 60s. Yeah.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, so Wally Funk was her name, and she was part of the Mercury 13. And I've been meaning to post about the Mercury 13 forever, but the Mercury 13 essentially were a bunch of women who were pilots, and they did the same training as the Mercury 7 did, the astronauts, like the first ever astronauts, and they kind of went through all the training, passed the training. Some of them surpassed some of the male astronauts, but even though they finished the training and did all the other things and set, you know, their own example, they never got to fly. And it's awesome that, you know, Bezos invited her to come.
Very cool.
Very cool. She'll actually be the oldest person to ever have gone to space, surpassing
John Glenn,
who was 80 years old. Yeah. But he was the International Space Station. So
he was a sitting senator when he did that too.
And he was a sitting senator. Yeah. So that's also but there's also something like this we have to define almost. Like Wally Funk will go to space. She will go to pass the Kerman line, and she's done all the astronaut training and she did all that and she's 82 years old. I'm going to call Wally Funk an astronaut.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm gonna
call her an astronaut after this because she went through all the training. She will be as much an astronaut as, honestly, she will be as much an astronaut as Shepard was before he went to the moon.
Yeah, that's who I was just thinking of.
Yeah, I mean, he went 15 minutes. I mean, it's it's going to be very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. But very cool.
It is. Who else is on that crew? Do we know? His brother.
His brother's on that crew. And then, of course, the guy, or whoever, I'm sorry, not necessarily a guy, but the person who had the $28 million bid to get a seat.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So that'll be exciting to see who that is.
And is that worth it, $28 million? How much did you say it is to go on Soyuz? Like 32 or something?
Yeah, it was like anywhere from $25 to $35 million. So
man, if you have the $28 million to go with Bezos, just do the 35 and go to the ISS, right?
I would yeah. I mean, yes. Why I don't understand, but I do understand how it's historic. It will be remembered.
Yeah.
Like the guy I talked about, you know, Charles Simonyi, I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but he was an executive from Microsoft. I've never heard of him. You know, I had to do some research to find out like if any other private citizens had been to space. And so this guy might be remembered. Like, we'll probably remember this crew. People in the space community will remember this crew. So that'll be exciting. Yeah, so there are a lot of cool things to talk about when it comes to this. So, but the first thing, let's go over a little bit the differences and similarities between these two different spaceships. So I have a few things, but if you have anything to add, please chime in. So we talked about a couple of things, but one of the biggest things right now is that Kerman line that we've been talking about. So 100 kilometers, 62 miles above sea level. That's it. That's space. That's recognized on Earth as space. Blue Origin will go over the Kerman line. The Kerman line. I keep saying Kerman line. The Kerman line. Virgin Galactic has yet to achieve that. They've yet to achieve going over the Kerman line. So the thing
I believe they're using the U.S. Air Force definition of space. The U.S. Air Force, they put the line for space lower than the Kerman line. I forget the exact altitude, but
is it 55?
I want to say it is something like that. It's much lower than the Carmen.
Yeah, it's like 85 kilometers and 55 miles, I believe.
Yeah, and I know that between actual like NASA astronauts and Air Force astronauts, there's kind of like a rivalry sort of, because some are real astronauts and some kind of aren't. Yeah.
So this is very interesting. So this is the dispute. This is what's going on. Who, if you go up on a Blue Origin flight, you will have gone to space.
You've been to space. I don't know if I'd call you an astronaut.
And we'll get there. We're going to come up with our own definition, I think, for who's an astronaut. But if you go on Virgin, you know, you will see the curvature of the Earth. You will see space, and it will be fantastic. I mean, we've all seen the video of, you know, they had a little bit of video from the spaceship itself, from Spaceship Two, and it is awesome. And I 100% think you will go to space. Like, that is space. It doesn't even matter if you call it space. You will have had an experience that will change your life.
Yeah.
I think the experience will be exactly the same. Whether you can say you've gone to space or not, which I don't think is that important. I don't think it's that important that you have been to space like 7 more miles than someone else. As long as you understand like the gravity or lack thereof of being in space and looking down on the Earth, I think that's the real important part of it, you know?
Yeah, I'd want those extra 7 miles if I was doing it.
Yeah. Well, so then that's the other thing. So they're both of the companies, you know, they have different definitions of kind of where space is. Each of them can take a different amount of people. So I believe Virgin's, at least their Unity VSS can take 8. So 2 pilots, 6 crew. And the Blue Origin, the New Shepard, can take 6 people total. So you got 8 people versus 6 people.
So it's the same amount, kind of.
Sort of the same amount, but I like the idea that you have the pilots there. I kind of like the more people going to space, even though it'll be the same astronauts going kind of each time. I do like that you can fit more people in the Virgin Galactic ship. This one is also a killer. So it's 6 minutes of weightlessness for Virgin. So 6 minutes of weightlessness. That is going to feel probably very short and like eternity at the same time.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm assuming
it's going to be something like that where you feel it and then it's over, but it felt like forever. And you're looking around and, you know, the Unity has all those beautiful windows and things that you can look out of. It's fantastic. I believe Blue Origins is 11 minutes of weightlessness.
Yeah, something like that. It's above 10, I know.
So that is a lot of time. That 10, I mean, 11, that's 5 more minutes. That's a lot of time to be in space. So here's the question now. It usually pretty much just comes down to money, as it always does. But I believe from what I've heard, so Virgin Galactic was giving out tickets for $250,000, kind of like if you put the $1,000 down for the One Small Step program, and then the Giant Leap is, it would be a discounted price, $250,000 for like the first 600 people to do it. Now, I don't know what it'll be after that, but I think both companies are kind of looking at, it's going to be like $500,000, and Blue Origin, I think, is looking more around like $700,000, but they're both going to announce the pricing after they both go up. So we'll get more information on that earlier. You know, Blue Origin takes off from the Mojave Desert. Virgin Galactic goes off from the Spaceport America.
Are they in the Mojave? I thought they were in Texas.
Blue Origin?
They launched from Texas.
I have read Mojave, but it could be Texas. Now, I could have been reading some old. Did they move to Texas? I know they moved to Texas.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll say Texas. Texas is for Blue Origin, and Virgin's going from New Mexico Spaceport America. The application in which they are flying, so Blue Origin has a vertical takeoff, vertical landing, and the landing also includes a parachute with a airburst at the end. So parachute go. Airburst, you land on ground instead of like water, like a usual capsule kind of would. So, and then for Virgin, you have the, you are dropped, you are taken up by the White Knight 2, which is an enormous plane, which 2 cockpits, and you, the Unity is you know, suspended in the middle, taken up to 50,000 feet, dropped for about 10 seconds, I think, goes up to where it's going to go, and then you glide back down, and you fly back in, and you land like a shuttle, like a
plane. Yeah.
Very cool.
Kind of scary.
Kind of scary. Honestly, to me, so here's the question. I'll ask you first. Which one would you go on?
Blue Origin.
Really? All right.
Pretty easy. Explain. Yeah. I mean, it goes higher, but I do feel like it's safer. I like that a computer flies it, but it's not being flown by people. It leaves out that human error possibility. It has an abort system in case something goes wrong. And it lands more traditionally under a parachute. It's not a landing. You know, stuff can go wrong with landings, you know. I don't think anything will go wrong with Virgin Galactic, but there's just a higher chance of it happening with Virgin Galactic than with Blue Origin.
Yeah, good. All right, yeah. I respect all good points, all good points. Mm-hmm. And I think Blue Origin looks a lot less scary, kind of.
Mm-hmm. I like the abort system.
Yeah, the abort system is very good. And Virgin, it seems like Virgin has the ability to abort in case of like malfunction or something while it's attached to the White Knight too.
Yeah.
But after that, I'm not really certain. I don't know enough about the spaceship itself.
We need it.
So, but I do agree with you. Landing and landing like that is tough. Mm-hmm. I don't like, this is going to sound pretty shallow. Don't like the look of the new Shepard. I think it looks kind of dinky. Look how
small. Yeah.
I don't like it. It doesn't look like a rocket to me. It has like the small, the engine is small. I just don't love it.
It's a small rocket. Yeah. But I mean, it's only like suborbital. You only need like, I think to get into suborbital space, you only need like 2 or 3% of the energy you need for orbital space. So, I mean, you don't need a very big rocket.
That's true. Yeah. I just wish it looked cooler. But I love the look of Virgin's spaceship. I love when it's attached to the White Knight too. I love when it's flying by itself. It looks spectacular. But really, what it would come down to me, I think that Virgin might be more fun while it might be more dangerous. But I think that if I had to ride one for the same price, it would be Blue Origin. But I think Blue Origin will be more expensive than Virgin. And mm-hmm. I might go, and I think it's going to be a lot less expensive. I could be wrong. I'm just speculating. But I think I'm going to go Virgin. It, you know, I like Virgin because I think it'll be cheaper and I think it will get cheaper. And in my lifetime, I think I could possibly, you know, we could possibly even go, you know, if you get a couple things right.
Really, yeah.
But I think it's possible.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
Which one has a better viewing experience, I wonder? Like, is there more space inside of the Virgin plane or inside of the capsule, the New Shepard?
Well, I'm assuming there's more room inside of the Virgin plane because
really?
Seats that recline,
mm-hmm.
that you can get more space, but also it already has more room for astronauts. You know, there's 8 people in there instead of 6 people, so I think it will be bigger within there, but I'm not sure. So I think once we get the footage, and I know we're getting live footage from space, or you know, close to space.
Yeah.
Near space from Virgin Galactic, and I hope Blue Origin does the same. I'm sure they will. I think it would be a missed opportunity for press if they did not do that. Mm-hmm. It'll be really, really cool. So, I mean, what we're looking at is pretty historic stuff. I'm really excited for Wally Funk. That'll be awesome to hear her when she comes back, and she's like, I finally got to be like an astronaut, and I'd be like, hell yeah, Wally, all the way.
You said she's 80?
Yeah, 82.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so she's an old bird, but she's going for it, and I love it. It's amazing.
I wonder how many G's do they experience on the New Shepard, both on ascent and descent. I assume it's pretty ballistic reentry.
Oh yeah,
they probably. Yeah,
I think it is. What I think about, well, I know, I think I was reading something like 3.5 for.
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
So 3.5, and I heard that re-entry for Virgin was scarier than going up.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, and I think that's true for the shuttle too. I think astronauts would used to say that it was scarier to come back than it was.
Yeah.
So that.
Well, I mean, super, you're unpowered and you have all that fire around you. At least for the shuttle, obviously they won't have that for the suborbital flight, but
yeah.
I could totally see that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really, and you know what? I was reading or listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson's Star Talk, his podcast and everything, and he was talking about heat shielding. And he was talking about how heat shielding really isn't about heat. It's about it's like air brakes.
Yeah.
The whole thing was basically, this thing's going really fast and we need enough stuff to slow ourselves down, because we can't bring fuel with us to stop us. We have to slow ourselves down with the atmosphere. So he's saying heat shielding is just air brakes, like on steroids. That's kind of what he was saying, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so really cool. So Virgin's going up July 11th, if all goes well. Branson will be the first. If all goes well, Branson will be the first billionaire to go on his own rocket to space or near space. Depends on where you define it.
Right.
Blue Origin going up July 20th with Wally Funk, Mercury 13, astronaut trainee, I would say. That's what we're going to call it. It will go over the Kármán line into what
actual space.
Of Earth called space.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going up on the 52nd anniversary of the Apollo 11 man on the moon. I think it's going to be, he definitely got it right with ceremony, you know, bringing Wally
Funk, yeah,
going up when on July 20th, like he's putting himself in the history books regardless. So I think he did a good job of picking a day and picking some crew, but it'll be very interesting. All right. So the next thing, I guess we got to talk about near space versus over the Kármán line. Who's an astronaut?
Oh, that's a tough question.
What does it mean to be an astronaut?
I think to be an astronaut, you have to go through some training, like NASA training. And then you have to, I want to say you have to go to orbit. But like you said, I'm going to count, what's her name? The 82-year-old woman?
Wally Funk.
Wally Funk. I'm going to count her as an astronaut, even though she says go to suborbital. So I think if you have training and you go past the Kármán line, I'll call you an astronaut. But you really got to go to orbit for it to be very, very cool, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So orbit, I am thinking, so let's just say in the future, let's go ahead a little bit. So in the future, when I go to space, let's bring this back in further. Let's go back further. Let's say if I go on a boat over the high seas, like I go from the United States, let's just say I go from New York City to
London,
yeah. I would technically be, what would that be called? An argonaut? Is that when you're on the water? Is that what an argonaut is?
I'm not sure. A mariner?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just say, am I a sailor because I rode on a ship? Or am I a sailor when I help sail the ship, when I give purpose to the ship?
You got to give purpose. You can't get on a cruise ship and call yourself a sailor.
Exactly. I think I'm with you there. So in actual name, you will be an astronaut, but in status, I think no one who's going on these should be considered in the same league as Shepard, you know.
Nah, people on the ISS.
On the ISS, you know, none of these people, like Victor Glover.
Armstrong. Yeah, you can't call yourself.
Cannot call yourself. You're not in the same league. And as we know, you know,
Gagarin. We should name a Russian one. I'm sorry.
Alexei Leonov. Valentina Tereshkova.
Yeah.
Sally Ride. You're not in their league, and I think everyone knows that. Buford. No, you're not in their league. Mae Jameson.
You know, I'm trying to think of one of the Chinese ones, but I don't know.
I can't think of it. Yeah. So I would say it's totally different when you have a purpose than when you're just going up for fun. But I do think that so many people should do it. Like, so many people should be going up there.
Mm-hmm.
The more people we go up there, soon we'll be in orbit. People will just be going to orbit for fun. And then, you know, there'll be the Virgin Hotel in orbit. You know, we'll have the Virgin Hotel. You'll go up there. You'll stay at the Virgin Hotel. It'll be incredible. And then later on, you know, we'll have our colony on the moon. And you'll be heading out to the moon for some golf, the Alan Shepard Golf Club.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That'd be great. So that's where we're headed. But I think to be an astronaut, you need to be purposeful in space. And I think, you know, even the Astronomical Society, I think there's a society for astronauts. And to be in that society, you have to have gone to orbit You have to orbit, I believe, the Earth twice.
Okay.
So that's what they call it. Bezos to after, you know, July 20th, not an astronaut. By name, possibly, but not by status.
Nah.
Yeah. All right. I think we agree. And I, you know, hey, everybody out there, I would love to hear your definition of an astronaut. That would be, like, awesome. I'd love to hear about that stuff. So if you want to give us your definition of an astronaut, you disagree or something, I'd love to hear it. Which rocket would you guys launch on? Which spaceship, I guess, because they're not rockets necessarily.
I'll do a poll on my Instagram story later. I bet Blue Origin is the most picked one.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Show us how the poll goes. We'll have you back on for something. It'll be really cool. But hey, so that's all coming up. Other news. So we're kind of past our Shepard and our new Shepard and our Spaceship 2 stuff. Very cool, exciting. Both of us, you know, we're big SLS fans. SLS is getting higher.
Yeah, very high.
Very
second
high.
Stage is on there, the intercryogenic propulsion stage. It's a fun name.
Yeah.
And they got the SRBs, and next they just have to put Orion on there and some of the scientific experiments that are going with it, and they'll be ready to launch, I think, October, November. What are they aiming for? Something like that.
Are they aiming for October, or James Webb is Halloween, right?
Halloween, yeah. Easy date to remember.
Yeah, there you go. So that's super exciting. But you know what else is kind of even more exciting, which I know we both love, is the heavy, super heavy Starship is getting stacked. Yeah.
Getting stacked. They're putting those engines on there. Elon just tweeted about putting them up to 33 engines on one.
33. Well, remember, what is it? It's like
28.
15.2 million pounds.
Pounds, yeah, more than SLS, more than Saturn V, yeah.
Can't wait. SLS will be, unfortunately, as much as I love NASA, NASA's using shuttle technology, and it's not reusable. It doesn't take as many people to carry as much weight, and it will be smaller. It will be obsolete. It will be obsolete in a couple of years because of...
It's obsolete right now, arguably. Yeah, I mean, I think only about 10% of it is new technology. It's like technology from the last decade. Got a cat here. Only like 10% is technology from the last decade. Everything else is 80s, 90s tech. Now, it has been upgraded a bit, you know what I mean? That 80s, 90s tech, but it's still older technology.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I know, we talked a lot. And
I think Orion, I'm sorry to cut you off. I think Orion is pretty impressive. That's new technology for sure. Orion's a very impressive capsule, even though it can't autonomously do things like Dragon and Starliner can, but it's still pretty impressive.
But my thing, even though Dragon is so good. And I know
you couldn't send it to the moon though.
True. But honestly, give him a year and he could.
Yeah.
That's what I think. So Orion, the Orion capsule and the Starliner cap. The Starliner will be going to the ISS, correct?
Starliner will be, yeah.
Orion is going to be used for the Artemis moon stuff.
Whatever they end up doing with Artemis, yeah. Maybe did asteroid. NASA's talked about doing that a lot. That'd be
asteroids, cool. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Back in the day, I believe the late 2008 time. They wanted to do a mission by 2020 that would send astronauts on Orion to an asteroid, and they would dock with or attach to that asteroid, and it would come. They would bring it back actually and put it in orbit around the moon.
Oh,
and so then they could. Yeah, then they could.
About ways to get it back, like using nets, almost.
Yeah, nets and things like that.
Yeah. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. I mean, you know, everything that's going on, just keep pushing it. I think we didn't get to talk about this necessarily, but NASA chief administrator Bill Nelson, you know, he held up the sign of China's rover that was on Mars that landed a couple months ago or a month and a half ago. And he was like, we got to keep pushing here because they got a rover here. They're sending up a station. We got to keep pushing. And I think that might hype us up a little bit to get out of the,
definitely
90s technology of the shuttle era.
Hopefully it doesn't get too hostile with us in China. It'd be nice to have some friendly cooperation, but hopefully that does motivate Congress a bit. because China seems motivated to go to the moon. They want that helium-3, so hopefully that motivates us.
Yeah, I would love cooperation. I'm not certain if China's interested in cooperating with us or vice versa necessarily.
I don't know if we are either. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. China in space. We had an episode a couple weeks ago about that, and it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. They've really amped up their space in the last couple of decades, and they've done it much faster than we did, comparably.
Yeah.
So it'll be super interesting. But hey. It's a new race. The space race is on. Honestly, the space race never ends. There's just new players.
That's true. Yeah.
So honestly, that's all we got for today. Just a little quick episode. Everybody updating on what's going on in this world of space we got going. I would tell everybody watch the Virgin Galactic launch on the 11th, which I believe is Sunday.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I believe coverage starts on YouTube or on their channel at 6 a.m. Pacific time and 9 Eastern time. So I would check out for that. And I don't know the stuff for Blue Origin, but I'm sure it'll come out soon. Check that out. It's gonna be historic. I'd watch
Origin. They typically do their launches at like 8 a.m. Central time. Gotcha. So yeah. And I'm looking at this right now. Right now, tentatively, NASA is planning to launch SLS in late November.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That would be awesome to see a huge rocket go up again.
Very cool. Yeah.
That would be very cool. I mean, it would be the most powerful rocket to ever launch.
It will be, yeah. So and I'll hold that.
As well.
Well, what if SpaceX launches a orbital starship?
That would be so sad, honestly. Yeah. I want SLS to have a moment of beauty, you know?
Me too, and I think it will, yeah.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Well, hey, follow Brad on Space Science Rocketry on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram at Space Jams. You know, we're both posting good stuff. Keep listening to the Space Jams podcast. Check out everything going on in space today. And Brad, any words of wisdom? Anything else you want to add?
Fortune favors the brave. That's a fun one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, Wally Funk forever. I'm Wally's going to be an astronaut in my book, and I'm excited. All right, everybody. Hey, keep looking up.